We're on a mission from God.
And now for something completely different. This is Pastor Jolly John Lukumski, and I have with me
Pastor Matt Youngblood Clark, coming to you from Ascension Lutheran Church, where I serve as pastor in beautiful South St. Louis. And John, as we record, I'm looking out the window. It really is beautiful today. There is no thunderstorms out there.
Nope.
So thankful for that, because this is a take two.
Yes,
recording,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. We tried to do this last week, and the lightning came and shut down the power. And I'm thinking we must have been doing something good, otherwise, why would the devil have wasted his time? So see, we can't get by now. The other thing I wanted to say too, Matt, see, it doesn't matter where I'm at. I'm here in New Athens. I'm in Minnesota sometimes, but I'm not a pastor. You are. And tell them about the Treor you got coming up.
Oh, well, thanks, John. Yeah. Good Friday. If you are in the St. Louis area, we'd love for you to come to the Treor service. That is a three-hour-long church service on Good Friday from noon to 3. So it's those 3 hours of darkness when Christ was on the cross. We have 9 different pastors, John.
Wow.
Yeah, Pastor Palooza at the Treor.
Pastor Palooza, so, I love it.
So 9 20-minute segments. So it's sort of an open house setting. So you come and stay as long as you like. You don't have to stay for the whole 3 hours. It's at St. Trinity Lutheran Church this year. They are in South St. Louis.
St. Trinity.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that one kind of stumps me, John. Something was lost in translation is my best guess.
I don't know, yeah.
But St. Trinity, there's not many of them. It's the only
one
in St. Louis.
I think it's the only one I know, yeah.
It might be the only one, but they're near 55 in Loughborough, if you're familiar with St. Louis. We'd love to see you there, again, from noon to 3 p.m. If you can't make it in person, listen live on KFUO Radio. You can do that worldwide. That'll be broadcast on AMA 50 and also online as well.
And yet, even though you can listen to it worldwide, you can just listen to it from your home as well. So don't feel like you have to fly over to France or something to hear it worldwide.
Yes. That's to clarify that.
Well, and this is very appropriate, because what you and I are going to do for the next couple of weeks is we wanted to look at the 7 words of Jesus from the cross.
Yes.
And the preliminary comment I wanted to make about that is I suspect Jesus probably said a lot more than 7 words. Okay. In fact, we know that. That's what the Bible says. I've got from John 20 here, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. And that would also include Matthew, Mark, and Luke. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. So, yeah, there were a lot of things that Jesus said, but the Holy Spirit felt it necessary to record just 7 of those words. And the reason he recorded them is so that we might have life in his name. So the words we're going to deal with, you can't hear them simply as words that were spoken 2,000 years ago to who knows who. But I hope our listeners will hear these words as if Jesus is speaking to them right here, right now, this very moment, as they listen to us. Okay, Matt? Does that make sense?
Makes sense to me, John. And words, yeah, like you point out, these are the words we need to know. These things are written that we may believe. And so, yeah, these words are worth us knowing and believing, right? And they strengthen us in faith, even create faith through the power of the Holy Spirit. So these are 7 important words.
So here's the first word I want to deal with. You got your Bible handy there?
I sure do.
Okay, because we're not making up the words. These are the words of Holy Scripture. So from Luke 23, verse 34, just the first half of the verse.
All right. And just to clarify, there's more than 7 literal words, right? So Jesus speaks 7 times from the cross.
That's true.
But he says more than just 7 individual words. All right, we kind of use that shorthand phrase, right? Yeah. Seven words, but you speak otherwise seven times.
We'd use them all up in this one verse.
But yeah, exactly. See, so if someone's counting at home, they're going to be very confused as to what's going on here. No, wait a second.
Well, don't be counting at home. Just listen to us, okay?
People are going to want their money back, John, if it's more than seven words. Yeah. All right,
although, so they're getting more than they should.
Yeah, that's
their,
more
they
than what they paid for.
Yeah,
that's right.
So okay, what are the words? The multiple words, but we count as one.
Yes. So Luke 23 verse 34, John, is that?
Yes, that's where it is, man.
All right, thank you. Yeah. All right, and Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do."
So this is a word that is being spoken to you and me, and everyone who's listening to this is very moment. Again, this is confirmed in the Holy Scripture. Again, from John, his first letter, he says, "My little children, I'm writing these things to you that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." So what does it mean to be an advocate, Matt?
To speak up on someone else's behalf.
Yeah. Yeah,
to be an advocate, to advocate for them. Yeah, and certainly, well, Jesus is talking to the Father here, right? Advocating for others.
And so as John says, the plan isn't that we sin, but because we are sinners, we will. And it's very important for us to know that just as Jesus did here on the cross, so he's doing right here today, he's still praying for us. He's praying, "Father, forgive them," okay? Which is probably a good thing. By the way, I think I need to clarify, he's not praying, "God, spare them from the consequences of their sin." The Bible talks about God disciplines those he loves. And no one likes discipline. I love that in the Hebrews. No one likes it when it's happening.
Yep.
But honest to God, it's probably necessary, because truly, if I didn't have consequences for my sin, I would just keep on sinning. It's hard enough as it is, even with the consequences. So yeah, Lord, let me suffer the consequences of my sin, but let me remember that Jesus has prayed that it will not be damnation, it will not be condemnation or final judgment, this will not be the end of all things. No, you will still love me and forgive me, and somehow even work everything together for my good. That's what the Bible says. So there we have it. Jesus is praying for you and me, and thank God for that. I thought, though, we should also point out that for you and me and for our listeners, Jesus is actually doing better than that, because he's not just praying that we be forgiven. Well, I'm going to go out on a limb here, but you know, we're Lutheran. We've come out of the closet, so I think that's safe asking this. What do you normally do? Not that you have to, but what do you normally do at the beginning of every church service?
Yeah, so we
I know you're going to tell me the benediction, you sing a hymn, but you know what I'm getting at.
Yeah, the invocation usually at Ascension, not the...
Yeah. not the benediction.
Yeah, it's not the benediction, but I don't know how you guys do things in Southern Illinois, John, but yes, invocation, hymn. And then we confess our sins, right? Confession and absolution, where we receive forgiveness.
And by the way, I need to explain, I'm on heavy doses of steroids right now. So forgive me
steroids.
I can't remember what the invocation or the benediction is. At this point, I'm just riding along. Whatever happens, happens. So you said you begin with a confession of sins, and immediately as soon as that's over, you don't say, "Okay, we'll get back to that." What do you immediately do after the confession of sins?
Yes. So then we have the absolution for the forgiveness of sins.
Right. In fact, you literally say, "In the name and by the command of the Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you your sins." And I think that's what's cool. See, for us, it's not just Jesus says, "Hey, I'll pray for you. But then he says, "You know what? And I forgive you too." You need to know that. You are right now here forgiven by the Lord Jesus Christ. So what a great blessing we have. I mean, you might have thought it'd been really neat to be at the cross, but we've got one thing better, because we don't just have the prayer, we have the actual proclamation of forgiveness.
Yes.
Now, here's the, I see you know the question already, because we got this far before the storm shut us down. Why doesn't Jesus do that here? Why doesn't he look at these people and say, "I forgive you"?
Because they might not have cared, right, John? Because they might not think there's anything to be forgiven for. You know, they don't fully realize what it is that they've done. They don't realize they've just nailed the Son of God to a cross, right? They don't know that. So if for Jesus say, "I forgive you," For the Pharisees, for the Roman soldiers there, they may not really care because they haven't been convicted of their sin.
Well, and again, we have the evidence from the Holy Scripture. In fact, that was the word of Jesus. It wasn't just Father, forgive them, but Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So at this point, that's as good as I can do is pray for their forgiveness, for they know not what they do. And if you would read the very next verse, verse 35, and you'll see what Jesus meant by that. They know not what they do.
Yeah. And the people stood by watching, but the ruler scoffed at him, saying, he saves others. Let him save himself if he is the Christ, this chosen one.
All right. So they're mocking him. They're mocking him already. And I can just imagine what would have happened if Jesus had looked at them and said, oh, I forgive you for what you're doing. Because they would have said, what? Why, you're forgiving us? You're the guy that's dying. And the Bible says that a death upon a tree, that's a cursed death. And are you going to deal with the passage about my God, why has thou forsaken me?
Yes.
Okay. So we'll hear that in the next episode. And of course, so how can you forgive us? You've just admitted you've been rejected by God. Okay. So no. And here's the danger. I think they would have come really close to committing the sin against the Holy Spirit. What is the sin against the Holy Spirit, Matt?
Yeah, so to sin against the Holy Spirit is to reject the Holy Spirit's work of creating faith, right,
yeah,
through the gospel. So it's this rejection of the Holy Spirit, the rejection of Jesus Christ, and to continue in that rejection of him.
And thank you for using the word continue. We're not implying that these people are committing the sin against the Holy Spirit when they mock him, but it's getting pretty darn close, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because if they became hardened in this, because when Jesus comes and says, I love you, I've died for you, I want to forgive your sins, and you say, oh, hogwash, you know, what else could God do if
that's
you
dangerous.
Reject yep. that? So isn't that ironic? He doesn't say, I forgive you here, because that wouldn't be good. That might actually endanger their soul. And that's something for us to contemplate as Christians. Sometimes we have to confront people in their sin. Now, of course, our problem is as sinners, we confront them because we want them to know how much better we are.
Yeah.
Look how good I am. No, that's our problem. But no, sometimes in love, and that's what the church does. It's called excommunication. But of course, the point is just so people they will repent. They will know what they do have done wrong. And then we can say, oh, yeah, Jesus has been praying all along. You were rejecting the forgiveness, and Jesus was just praying, hey, God, let's work things so that these people will see their sin and they can hear me then say, I forgive you. So any other questions or comments about that, Matt? And we'll move to the second word.
So, yeah, I mean, a couple of things. One is, you know, it's this long gospel, right? We
yeah.
like to talk about that as Lutherans, too. And, yeah, and excommunication, like you mentioned, is a word of very strong word of law. But that law shows us our sin. And anytime we share the law in that respect and even excommunication, the prayer is that people they'll repent of their sin, right? See their need for a savior. And then, yeah, once you see that, the gospel means everything. Those words, you are forgiven, they mean everything because we know we need that forgiveness. And the gospel shows us that forgiveness is in Christ, right? The one who did lay down his life on the cross.
So, and that's probably a thing that we then will need to repent of, because I think often we yep. use the law because we want to clean house, right? Let's get rid of that riffraff, you know, all these Easter or Christmas Christians, let's get rid of them, you know. No, that's never the attitude. The attitude is always, no, we hope people repent so that we can embrace them and welcome them and not only let them know we've been praying for their forgiveness, but the Lord Jesus Christ has actually done everything necessary so yeah. they can be forgiven.
And John, just two other quick thoughts about these
sure,
words.
Yeah, yeah.
One is typically we list this as what Jesus first said from the cross.
Ah, okay.
And I mean, and that just blows me away. You know, if yeah. I'm the one nailed to a cross by these people, my first words out of my mouth is probably not going to be, Father, forgive them, right? You know, it might be, Father, send a legion of angels to come rescue me, right?
Yep, yep.
Father, torture these people that are torturing me. You know, I don't think, you know, Father, you know, damn them, right? You know, I'm like quite yeah. literally, right?
Yeah.
But Jesus, wow, no, as Savior, he says, it's just with full of mercy and grace and compassion and love, Father, forgive them. That's his very first word from the cross. And in some ways, that's kind of the lens by which we look at the rest of his words, too, through that love and compassion, forgiveness that Jesus shows there in his initial words from the cross.
And that's a good, excellent way to look at it, Matt, because it sets the whole context for everything else that follows, like you say.
Yeah.
That's why he's on the cross, so that, so that people can be forgiven. So in Luke, we immediately have a another comment.
Well, I was going to say one other thing, John. I don't want to use up too much time. But the the other thing is, you know, forgive them for they know not what they do, and they don't fully understand what they're doing, right? But you know, for us, you know, as you said, we take these words, you know, for us too, you know, forgive them for they know not what they do. Well, you know, I'm thinking I do know what I'm doing.
Yeah,
right, John. I've got the Ten Commandments. I know what I'm doing. And yet I still sin.
Yep.
And I think that makes, as you point out, the words of absolution and forgiveness that much sweeter and amazing, is that even though we sin knowingly, break the Ten Commandments, yet still Christ comes with those words of absolution, you are forgiven. And that makes those words even more powerful and even more full of love and grace and mercy.
And I would add this too, since we've talked about confession and absolution, I think we could also repent about that, because I would confess that there are times that even as a pastor, I say those words of confession simply because that's what's at the beginning of the order of service, you know, and I might not be thinking specifically about those words, just saying them. Or the other problem I think I have sometimes is, they do strike my heart, but it's one sin in particular. I think, I remember I did that. And then it becomes, let's just take care of that sin and everything will be all right, and then I'll be fine. Whereas, of course, the heart of the confession is to recognize what we've done is a whole bunch of stuff. And as you said, that we cannot free ourselves from that sinful nature. That's how we are. And that's why we're crying out, Lord, you got to do more than just forgive this sin and that sin. We need something total and complete, which, of course, is what we have through Christ on the cross. And what's cool is Luke then records the second word, and I think they are connected. I don't think this is a fluke or accident that the Holy Spirit gave both of these words to Luke, because what we have now in the second word is an example of what a difference it makes when you do know that you've sinned, okay? It makes all the difference in the world. So I guess what we should all pray is, if any of us are doing sins we're unaware of, God, make us conscious of that. Although, again, in our confession, we say, there are the sins I know, there's sins I don't know.
Yeah.
Because that's not it. It's not like once I know them, then everything will be taken care of. No, I just need total and complete forgiveness. But probably for the sake of the neighbor, it would be good if I did become aware of them. Because if I'm nailing somebody to a cross, I probably should be conscious of that. Anyway, let's get to the second word, if you would, please. And I want to point out to you that, yes, this guy does know what he's doing. If you could read Luke 23 now, verses 40 through 42.
Sure. So talking about the criminals on the cross next to him, it says verse 40, but the other criminal rebuked him, saying, do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? Okay, he's talking to the other criminal. And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. And he said to Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And he said to him.
No. Let's say the word. I'm sorry, I should have pointed that out. Because we just want to emphasize right now, he's acknowledging he's getting the due reward. There's no excuse making here. I'm getting. This is what I deserve. It is, by the way, I think why it is hard to confess sometimes, because when you confess, part of that confession is the acknowledgement, then, well, you really should probably just die and go to hell. That's a tough thing to acknowledge.
You deserve,
But on the other hand, if you read through the Bible, the disciples are doing that all the time. You know, Peter's sinking in the water. The disciples think their boat's going to be flooded. Peter falls on his knees and says, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man. And yet, you know, what does Jesus do in every one of those instances when those people show their fear?
Yeah, so he fear not, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And saves and restores.
Yeah, yeah. So it's a scary thing to really honestly confess. But again, as we've already said, we know what Jesus wants to say. He wants to say, you are forgiven. And he's just waiting for us to see our need for that. I'm going off on a sidetrack here, but I got to thinking about poor old Adam and Eve. You know, they didn't say that. They didn't say that. But then again, they didn't know. They had no idea what God would do when he found out that they'd eaten from the forbidden tree, you know. But we do know. That's the beautiful thing we have. We do know exactly what Jesus will do. And that's what this is what he says to the people that know what they've done. Verse 43. So here's the second of many words.
And Jesus said to him, "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise."
All right. And I hope every one of our listeners know that's exactly what Jesus is speaking to them right here, right now. Now, of course, I think there's probably a little different nuance to the word today. And of course, have you ever gotten into this argument with anybody about whether Jesus is saying, "Today I say to you," or is he saying to the thief, "Today you will be with me in paradise"? You ever get into that discussion, Matt?
Yeah, I know what you mean. So, is Jesus going to be with the criminal that day in paradise? I think is what people are sort of getting at.
Yeah. Or is he simply saying, I'm saying this to you at this moment in time? Do you have it? Do you have an interpretation of that, Matt?
Well, I mean, frankly, I don't know how much it really matters, John.
Okay.
Because I think the point is, he will be with Jesus in paradise.
Yeah.
And that's the beautiful promise, right? And, and I think we could say, and two, I think we could even say safely that this criminal is going to be in paradise that day. He will be, right?
Yeah.
But I think the debate is then, well, when is Jesus going to be in paradise, right?
Okay.
And, with his resurrection, and when does he actually come back to life? And, what about the descent into hell, and all those things? But I think, when this criminal dies, he's going to be in paradise, right? It's not like he's going to some limbo or some purgatory, he's going to be in paradise.
So I like what you're saying there when you said it doesn't make any difference. Mm-hmm. And I think in a very real sense, that's true. However, I suspect if I'm the thief on the cross and I know I'm getting the reward, the just reward for my deeds, which means, in just a few hours, I'm going to be dead. I am thinking that probably today means right here and now. I don't want to be going to limbo or to purgatory or whatever, Sheol. I want to know paradise is mine and here and now. Now, however, when I hear those words, I am not so much interested in being in paradise right here and now. Not this day. Mm-hmm. I know the day will come, but that can wait for a few days as far as I'm concerned. But I do think for the thief, I think, like you said, that's the comfort. Yes, don't worry about it. Paradise is yours, even though you've still got to go through the suffering and death. That's not over, but paradise is yours.
I think it speaks to what you said earlier. He's getting the just rewards for his word deeds, right? So sin forgiven, thanks be to God. He is forgiven in the eyes of God, but yet he's still suffering the consequences here in the world. And I think of us today too. When people commit crimes, is there forgiveness for them, even for a sin like murder? Well, yeah, there is because Christ paid for it. But there's still a prison sentence, right? There's still a death penalty, perhaps even. There's still the consequences in this world.
So on the other hand, I think for us, he is, again, what we've emphasized from the beginning, people need to know he's talking to us right here and right now. So the promise is right here and right now. The fulfillment won't be for a while. And of course, we'll have our suffering and our crosses before the fulfillment. But there's no doubt about it. He's speaking to us. And God's word is always true. His promise is always true. But here it comes to the final point I want to make, because you kind of touched on this. See, the real promise isn't just that you're going to be in paradise, but the real promise is you will be with me. So the real promise is, because it's interesting, I hadn't thought of that angle about, of course, he's going to descend into hell. Most people think he went into heaven first and was at the right hand of God. And then, of course, he comes back to earth. And then, of course, he ascends into heaven physically, visibly. So we're not expecting him to show up, next to the Sea of Galilee the next day we meet him. But of course, the thing we have to remember is that he is present everywhere. He's omnipresent. He's God, which means he could be in hell and he could also be in heaven, and he could also be laying in a tomb, and he could also be with this man hanging on a cross. And no matter where we are or where we end up, he is with us, which I think is the beautiful promise. So if you're not in paradise yet, if you're hanging on a cross, still looking for the completion of the due reward for your deeds, I think it's a wonderful thing to know you're not alone. You're not alone. Jesus Christ is still with you, and he is not going to leave you, not for a moment, all right? He will be with you. He will strengthen you. He will see you through all of this. It's why the Bible proclaims with such boldness, nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is ours in Jesus Christ. See? So that's what I like about this. I want to be in paradise. You and I will be in paradise. God wants all of our listeners to be in paradise. But you know what? We're not there yet. And it's kind of nice to know we'll be with Jesus and our loved ones. But it's kind of nice to know that Jesus will be with us here, no matter what this particular world might hold for us. And I want to emphasize, too, I love the fact that he says truly, or of course in the Greek it was amen, because he wants you to know you may have some reason to doubt this sometimes, you know. But you still need to know, even if you've got some questions and concerns, it's true.
Yeah, John, you know, and just, you know, for us, you know, I think I kind of, you know, that whole doubt thing, do we doubt this sometimes? I kind of envy the criminal a little bit because Jesus says directly to him, today you'll be with me in paradise. It's like, well, Jesus, I want to hear that too. You know, I want that reassurance that I'm going to be with you in paradise. And we do have that assurance, don't we? You know, every time that, you know, we remember our baptism in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. When we hear the words of absolution, you are forgiven. When we receive the Lord's Supper, Christ's body and blood. Every time we receive those things where there's forgiveness of sins, as the catechism says, there's also life and salvation. So every time we receive those words of forgiveness and we remember our baptism, it's like Jesus is saying to us, you're going to be with me in paradise. You're forgiven. And with that forgiveness, that comes the guarantee of salvation.
And Matt, you know, that's what I love about the Christian faith. The Christian faith was always criticized because it was pie in the sky by and by, okay? And that's a total misunderstanding of what the Christian faith is. The Christian faith is that we have a loving God who is with us day in and day out. Yes, the consequences will be paradise, but there's that beautiful hymn. I can't remember it off the top of my head, but basically, if Jesus wasn't there, paradise would be void.
And bare. Cold and bare,
That wouldn't be a good place to be either. And I hope, and thank you for saying it so succinctly and so bluntly. I hope everyone who's listening to this episode right now knows the Lord Jesus Christ is with you. I hope you're having a good day. I hope you're like me. You don't want to be in paradise today because things are going pretty good here on earth. But even if you're having a bad day, even if you're like this thief and you've got some struggles and trials, even if you see consequences coming that you know cannot be avoided, and again, your flesh is going to hate that. No one's denying that. No one's saying you like that. But I think you should pray and remember that the Lord is with you. The Lord forgives you. The Lord's praying for you. And yes, it's all going to be working together for our good. Thank you for being with us here on Wrestling with the Basics.
Showing support for KFUO is now easier than ever. You can sport a KFUO shirt, swag, or even socks by visiting our online store. Go to KFUO.org/store and order high-quality KFUO-branded merch. You no longer need to wait for our annual share-a-thon for a chance to show your KFUO spirit. Visually share and wear this ministry out in the world by checking out our selection. Every purchase helps to support our proclamation of Christ for you, anytime, anywhere. Go to KFUO.org/store.